Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 225 of Heroes Unlimited. I'm sick of this bullshit. We are on the third continuous day of rambling on by the author at the top of the super abilities section, which is supposed to be, is allegedly about superpowers, but is actually about just so many things. So many things that happen to be on Kevin Sambita's mind. For example, on this page, we talk about the idea of levels of experience. Now, you may recognize this term from every role-playing game, especially up to the point of the publication of Heroes Unlimited 2nd Edition, but it's important now, you know, at the brink of talking about the superpowers we've been promised, lo, these 225 pages so far, it's important at this point to take a step back and once again talk about the idea of levels of experience. Likewise, hey, range. Superpowers have range. We wouldn't want you to get confused, so let's break it down. Quote, range indicates the maximum distance the power, energy, bolt, magnetic effect, etc., can be cast. It may be limited to X number of feet per level, touch, or radius, area of an effect. Unless stated otherwise, it is assumed that a particular power affects only one character slash opponent slash victim at a time. All area effects will define their radius of influence. Spoilers, they won't. We go on to talk about line of vision. Now, you would think you would use the more typical, you know, line of sight terminology, but no, line of vision is the terminology in Heroes Unlimited. And if you're not familiar with the concept of vision, what happens is you see people. Typically, that's the way it works. There are people around you and you see them. But if you can't see them, you may have difficulty aiming at them. Many powers under range, when we're talking about, you know, casting a projectile or bolt of energy some distance, will also require a line of vision. Now, it's not that you can't just target an area or an object. It's that if you can't see someone, I guess you wouldn't know where to shoot, right? Are you following me so far? Because there are pages and pages of this. Just keep in mind. Should I keep quoting? Are we 100% crystal fucking clear on the idea that you would need to see something to aim at it? All right. In that case, I'll feel free to skip this section. Maddeningly, though, this remedial level rehashing of the English language is interspersed with all kinds of weird idiosyncrasies that the author just tosses out as though they're common sense. Like, if an ability has a range of touch, first we have to define what touch means. In summary, it's touch. But then, get this, quote, in most cases, but not all, the character can affect two people with one attack by touching both at the same time. When in doubt, the GM always has final say. Now, what the fuck is this out of nowhere? Didn't you just say that unless otherwise specified, an ability targets one person? Now you're saying, by default, if something has a range of touch, it can affect two people. Some of the time, but not all of the time, because you can take one action to touch two people. Which comes out of nowhere, because there are lots of powers and abilities that require touch. And those are one action per attack per touch. Right? Like, if you can shock somebody by touching them because you're a robot, you touch one person. Or if you're like a master of snake style from Ninjas and Super Spies and you got to poke somebody to give them the death touch, that's one attack, one action, you touch one person. You don't get a free death touch because you're like poking in two directions at once. This comes out of nowhere. The idea that you can do two touch attacks for the price of one, never seen before, as far as I know, and won't be mentioned again, as far as I know. Like, these powers don't go on to remind you of this. So if forgivably, your eyes glazed over these three pages of defining common English words, you could easily miss the fact that, oh, BTW, when you're doing an electrical touch attack, you can kind of flap your hand around and touch multiple people and they all get electrified. And then immediately after that revelation, we're on to once again describing what a called shot is. Only this time, instead of one of the, I don't know, three or four at this point, different contradictory rules about how called shots work, there are no rules at all. Just a description of what a called shot is. It's where you target a specific part of something. Thanks so much. Thank you so... And what I love about this too is so many of these things, which are pointless to bring up in the first place, there is no content. There are no rules. Like the thing about touch. The character can affect two people with one attack, quote, in most cases, but not all. Thanks? Here is a thing that is true some of the time. You figure it out. It's like, why'd you bring it up? As you can imagine, it's hard to pick through a page like this for a dumbest thing, but I did find one that really struck me. I went with my gut on this one, and I pulled out the thing that made me roll my eyes most when I first read it. And here it is. It's under the description of area of effect. So first we get a definition of the concept of an area of effect. Now we get a little guidance on how to apply area of effect. Quote, everyone in that given area or radius will fall under the effects of that power. Spoilers, no they won't. An effect slash force with a 15-foot radius will affect, or has the potential to affect, everybody within the circle of its power or radius. Again, not actually true. In many instances, which ones? Who can say? Each individual caught in its radius gets to make a saving throw, which I guess is just up to your discretion. Is there a save? I guess all powers, right? We had said on the previous page, give you, except when they don't. So whatever. In others, each must vacate the area of effect to escape its influence. Those just outside the area or radius of effect are untouched and unaffected by the forces within, but if they enter that radius, they too may suffer or fall under its power. Roll to save when applicable. There's this area, you see, and there's an effect happening in that area. We call this an area of effect. Now, if you're in that area, you will be affected. Maybe. Sometimes. Unless you save. You may get a save, or you may not. If you're outside that area of effect, you won't be affected. But, and this is crucial, if you were to enter that area, in some cases, you would begin to be affected. If you fail your save, if you get one, if the effect affects everyone in its area. I know this is hard to parse, and part of the reason for that is the extremely advanced terminology. So let me break it down for you with a definition of the word radius. And this is the dumbest thing in this page. Quote, radius is like the circular ripple that appears when a stone is dropped in a pool of water. It radiates out along the surface of the water, only in this case, the ripple stops at a particular size and continues to affect everybody within that radius or circle. In most cases, the radius or diameter is measured along a flat surface and affects everybody in that area up to about 10 to 15 feet above the ground or floor as the case may be. It is not usually a 3D spherical effect that goes through the floor to the basement or to the floors above the ceiling. Okay, so the radius of a superpower, listen, it's not that complicated. Let me explain it to you in terms you can understand. It's like when you drop a stone into a pond and the water ripples out if only there were a name for this round shape, but I can't think of any other way to explain it. It ripples out in a round shape, a two-dimensional round shape. And then you know how the water will then stop at a defined radius or diameter, two interchangeable terms for what I'm talking about, as we all remember from geometry class. And then the ripple will stop in the water, and then everyone standing within the ripple will continue to be affected by the ripple for the duration of the effect. It's like that. I hope this cleared things up. I don't know what bizarre convolutions led the author to this totally misleading and wrongheaded image for the simple concept of a circle. But I think what happened is that the author was trying to explain that the radius doesn't extend upward. Like, it's more like a cylinder. It's more like a short, wide. It's a tuna can template that your effects happen on. They don't go far above or below you. They just go a long ways out in like a cylinder around you. I think that's what the author is trying to convey. This, of course, is not true. I looked at this image and I honestly was bamboozled. I was totally confused by why the author decided to put this in this way. I felt the need to have like a nature metaphor at all for this simple geometrical concept. So I looked up the word radius as used in the superpowers, which I promise you we're about to talk about in the superpower section. And what I found is of the 22 instances I was able to locate, of superpowers that actually use the word radius to describe the area of their own effect, exactly 11 of them do or may work this way. 11 of them, 50%, seem on the basis of their descriptions not to work in the way described here. For example, the radius of a sonic effect, or like the radius of your heightened hearing. Slow motion control, which has a radius but only affects a limited number of people within that radius, so it's really a range instead of an area. Many powers that describe having a radius but actually give their area of effect in terms of, quote, area using linear measurements, so you don't know what they're talking about. since they apparently use diameter and radius interchangeably. It is so palladium. It is such the dumbest thing on this page that we have resorted to an out-of-place, like, haiku-like nature metaphor to explain the simple concept of a circle in order to convey to you, the reader, that when a power has a radius, it's not really a radius. It's a compass drawn around you that is 10 to 15 feet tall and affects everyone inside of it. And all of that turns out to be true exactly 50% of the time. So that this section, this paragraph, is not even consistently wrong. It is right and applies exactly half the time with no indication of when that would be. You could not make a more decisive waste of paper than this page by feeding it into a fucking shredder. With that, the boring bullshit introduction to superpowers is over, and I'm so happy. Let's forget this ever happened. Join me tomorrow as, 3 pages into the superpower section, we finally, praise God, start talking about superpowers on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That's ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Art of Escapism, whose work you can find at soundcloud.com/artofescapism. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.